Jim, Matt, Molly takeover of Wildy and Tosh continues. It is hour number three of the takeover. We're here at Camp Randall. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. Stream us on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Get into the show. 844-770-3776. The Carbos talking text line. This is more. Jim Rutledge, Matt Hamilton, Molly Brown with you. We are at Camp Randall for the Upper Deck event. We're having a great time. Primetime Wollersheim is back in the Everlight Solar Studio. And we have been talking a lot of Packers and Brewers today. We have Jason Wildy coming up next. And then we also – actually, I'm sorry, we have Molly's game coming up next. So we're going to pick some games against Pato Spread. We also have Wildy. We also have Feel Good Friday. So I want to circle back to our original Siding Unlimited poll question to start today. And that is, are you confident the Brewers will make the World Series after yesterday's MLB trade deadline? You can chime in on that, 844-770-3776 on the Carbos Talking text line. List is more. Right now, 82% of you say no. And I want to get to two pieces of audio from different teammates. One, with Gabe Neitzel, who was on, obviously, his show, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, yesterday, talking about the Brewers not getting, who, Molly?
Eugenio
Suarez.
Matt.
Sorry.
Come on.
Checked out.
Well, I knew you were doing.
He had more interesting things.
Was it interesting?
No, it wasn't. No, I'm not sharing with the class. It was like the least interesting thing I've read in an email in a long time.
Yeah,
was it from Jesse Nelson?
Why are you reading emails? Is it a snack question?
It was a work email.
Well,
it was to my work email.
Well, now I'm even more offended. So basically, you just checked out.
I heard you talking about Molly's game and Feel Good Friday, and I was like, yeah, I got a second before they bring me in.
To read a work email that you never read.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know. I've been trying to be better about reading my work emails because I was notoriously bad at it.
But can I also just give this a little bit of advice, Molly? So it was funny. One, Matt like thinks these emails are like his personally, because the other day we were in the car and we're driving to the Green Bay, and it's like, I just got this email about an intern, a part-timer leaving. I'm like, Matt, everyone got that email. Like, I didn't say it, but I'm like, we all got that email.
I didn't quite think it was only
way,
to me.
But the way you phrased it.
And then yeah,
like,
you're
Matt,
right.
We want you to know that this part-timer that you've probably never met is leaving.
But
we
also,
just wanted you to know specifically.
But like, he also needs to go to, like, was it detox? Like, Matt, you have to prioritize, like, most, like, 98% of those emails aren't for you. 97% of the emails I get aren't for me. I just delete them. You just need to, we only get mad because you don't read the ones you're supposed to read. And I think
that's because they're flooding the zone on me.
Like, maybe we just need to block out anything. Basically, we need to put a filter, Molly, on Matt's email that if it doesn't come from me, you, Ryan, or Ashton, that's it.
It's not that important.
It's not
exactly
relevant to you. Honestly, I would love that. I would love that.
All right.
I'll work on it. I'll put my other hat on in my other job, and I'll figure that out for you.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Less is more for
expectations
Matt Hamilton.
Are low.
Yes.
I see. That's the thing. Low is still a little too high. There's no expectations. What
bottom
I'm shooting
of the
for.
Barrel.
Yeah.
The bar is the floor.
I'll take that.
Whose floor is higher, Matt Hamilton or Jordan Love?
Jordan Love's floor is much higher.
Matt Hamilton or Jesse Nelson, though.
Oh, God. Let's not start.
I'm just going to get this out of the way because this is getting insane. Strofe is a clown guy. We did it start the show at like 9:15. We said Strofe is a clown. So stop chiming in. Thank you.
Why did we say Strofe was a clown?
I don't know. This guy texts in every day, apparently.
Huh.
I don't
constantly?
Know.
No
I guess.
Idea. Irrelevant.
I guess.
I mean, no one here like fully disagrees with you, so like we get it. We're with you.
He used to produce our show. Trust me, we know he's a clown.
Yeah.
Back in the Rutledge and Hamilton days, this isn't news to us.
Thanks for listening.
What was his nickname?
Oh. Boo Boo Kitty.
Boo Boo
Kitty.
Kitty. Yeah.
I only know that off the top of my head because
Savage.
It was literally in one of the chats that I'm in with him right now. It was right there from, like, March when we were talking about this last.
So, yes. So, yeah. We know Boo Boo Kitty is a clown.
What? What are you looking at me like that for?
I love that Molly remembered someone else's embarrassing nickname because the only one that was coming to mind was Molly's.
Well, no.
No, we don't need to. We're done.
This actually came up when I was golfing because Matt decided to tell the office, what was your foo-foo?
Foo-foo, yeah.
And so, Molly, what was yours?
Maladina muffin pie.
Can I tell you?
Ben Bruss loves to bring it up because for some like it was literally brought up in Scouts and Bruss like 6 years ago, and I can't remember. I can't believe he remembers it.
So I will not share because I don't feel comfortable on the air sharing the mistaken nickname someone thought you had. It was the first part was right, the Maladina, but they had the wrong punchline for the muffin pie.
Who did?
One of our teammates. They guessed the wrong one. They guessed the wrong punch.
Oh God! What was theirs?
not radio.
Okay, I don't want to know.
Yeah. But
guys, my dad called me this.
That's like, what I said. It's like her father gave it
this. He still calls me this. Like,
not that.
Gross. I'm out.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's why I said.
You're making it worse.
Just stick with Maladina Muffin Pie.
And I, notoriously, I told my parents that, like, in kindergarten to stop calling me Jimmy. I'm Jim. So.
I call you Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm fine with it.
Okay.
When you're a kid, you're like, I got to be a grown up.
I'm Jim, not Jimmy.
I can imagine. I want my quarterback to be an MVP.
Well, I think I've shared this before.
Why I oughta.
What the, I was like a sports version of young Sheldon. Like,
yeah.
I've also shared a story before of my mom would do the same thing. She'd pick up me and my friends. She'd ask the exact same question, the exact same cadence and all that. So I started telling my friends that she would do that. And when we got in the car, she asked the question and they all laughed. And then we told her why, and then she never asked it again. So I was not a nice kid. Like, it wasn't on purpose. I just was trying
to. I wish I could tell you how grew it.
Yeah. I wish I didn't have. I try to be better about not having fun at people at other people's expense. Now Stroh says Jimmy's a clown. Okay.
Hey, just mixing it up. Keeping it fresh.
I like it. And I'm sorry. He's out in the truck all day, so go ahead and do your work. We're proud of all the work you put in. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Stroh is a clown guy. But I want to get to some audio quickly, one from Gabe Neitzel, and I think it does encapsulate the frustration Brewer fans should have with their team. You know, I thought I gave Brian plenty of time. Yeah. There was a lot of filibustering.
And we're going to play it right now.
I was also going to say this audio is about the Brewers not getting A. Eugenio Suarez, the news coming out late last night. So here was what Gabe Neitzel had to react when he realized that the Brewers got beat out or didn't even really try to get A. Eugenio Suarez.
It's a gut punch. It's a gut punch. Because it wasn't that much. They gave up Tyler Locklear, not that you know any of these names. He was the Mariners' number 9 prospect. They gave up a right-handed pitcher who was a number 16 prospect and a right-handed pitcher who was their number 17 prospect. They gave up 3 prospects here, the pitching prospects worse than the ones they gave up to get Josh Naylor. I thought that Logan Henderson would potentially be like the center of a package. You could have given up Logan Henderson, who's a top 100 guy, and probably been done with it compared to what the Mariners actually ended up giving up. So that's the tough part for me, is just kind of a gut punch of, they didn't really overpay. Kind of feels like an underpay.
And I think that's the important part.
Yeah.
That the Brewers, it wouldn't have been for a song as they got Andrew Vaughn for, but they could have gotten Suarez on a value. And if you're getting a guy like Suarez who provides the biggest thing you need and nothing is guaranteed, and all you had to do was give up one top 100 prospect, and that top 100 prospect is in a position of value. You know, like,
and a position of power for Brewers.
That's what I mean, position of depth.
Yeah.
For the Brewers, then it's like, go ahead and do it. And we also had David Kaplan on earlier before the trade deadline talking about both the Cubs and the Brewers. Neither team, this is before he knew neither team was going to do anything of significance at the deadline, talked about being World Series contenders, and if not now, then when?
Okay, but here's what I'd say to you. That Brewers team's good enough to win a World Series. They are. And you could throw Mizorowski and Freddie Peralta and Jose Quintana. You can. I'm not saying they will. They can. The Chicago Cubs also are good enough when you can roll out there Kyle Tucker and Pete Carmstrong and Michael Bush and all of these dudes, Nico Horner. They have enough to do it if they go out and address their bullpen and maybe a high-end starter in their rotation. They can. If Mark Adonasio, who I've never met in my life, doesn't look at this team and go, if not now, when, and push the chips in, then he does not care about winning. That's just a fact.
And I don't disagree. Now, after Cap joined, the Cubs did essentially bupkis as well. They addressed some needs in the margins, just like I guess you say the Brewers did. They did not – you know, the Brewers needed the bat. They didn't address that need. The Cubs needed pitching. The Cubs didn't address that need. So neither one of these teams seem, quote-unquote, serious about winning a World Series. It's not impossible. They are both competing to be the best team in the National League right now. But when it gets down to the playoffs, usually the teams with the biggest payroll and the best players end up winning. And the Cubs and the Brewers did not add to their coffers to give themselves a bigger cushion or give themselves a better chance. Maybe it'll work out. but maybe it will work out is not necessarily how fans want your team to operate. Either one of those teams.
Hope's not a strategy, right?
Hope is not a strategy.
So I do have a question about Mark Attanasio.
Okay.
Earlier this year, before the season started, someone asked, like, what the goal was for the season or something along those lines.
Yep.
I might be taking it a little bit out of context, but he was like, a fun family experience all summer in Milwaukee is what the Brewers are providing or trying to provide.
Like, here's what I have here. A summer of entertainment.
So has there ever been a clip of Mark saying the goal is to win a World Series?
Well,
because I'm just thinking about, like, if not,
well,
which
I'm going to stop. Well, okay, so yesterday he said to reporters, quote, "We want to try to win a championship and also maintain a strong team here in Milwaukee for a very long time." So that's probably the closest that you're going to get.
That was
Matt Arnold. Sorry, that wasn't Attanasio. Now they say that.
So when I think about the owner, who is the one who has to sign the checks and willing to give Matt Arnold a larger allowance so he can go out and get more players, I don't remember him ever explicitly saying, I want to win a championship. I think that's just a given that all fans kind of put on owners and ownership of teams. Obviously, we got the Packers saying it all the time. Like, that's their goal. They talk about title town. Like, that's something that is,
well,
I feel like it's always implied. He never says it. I think his real goal, legitimately, is to have a summer of fun. And entertainment.
I think they're fine just being relevant. In the same way that the Packers are sometimes, too. Where it's like,
well,
we're good. We're getting to the playoffs. It's fine.
To the Packers' credit, because of their ownership structure, which I do think has some faults that could rear its ugly head as private equity comes into the NFL and the Brewers and the Packers won't be a part of it, but there isn't necessarily the money-driven side of things. Like, obviously, there's a board and they get maybe bonuses, things like that. But still, in general, it's not as money-driven. It is truly just a philosophy-based thing of, like, we'd rather have a million bites at the apple every year than take one big bite and screw it up. The Brewers sure the hell have seemed more of, you know, and that's not just them. Again, the Cubs are doing this. The Cubs done the same thing, operational cash flow. If you're a fan, your eyes roll over in your head. Talking about gate revenue, talking about the economics of baseball. Here's the other thing. We're probably headed towards a lockout or a stoppage, too. So are these teams trying to make sure they don't have too much money on the books? Are they trying to, you know, they won't have revenue coming in. The players won't either. But, like, there's all these different things that some of these owners who I believe, if you are worried about operating in the black, you shouldn't be owning a professional sports team. Professional sports should be a equity play. That the Mark Attanasio bought the Milwaukee Brewers, and I believe they're worth well over $1 billion more than what he paid for them. That's the money you make out of something. It's like buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
You're buying a house. You shouldn't buy a house. Anyone that does remodeling tells you don't buy a house to flip it. You don't do a remodel to flip it because you're going to lose money on it. A house is a long-term investment, and the money you make out of a house is in the very end of it, at the very long term, 10, 15 years. That's why mortgages are 15 to 30 years. It's a long-term investment. Owning the baseball team, owning a professional team should be a long-term investment. I'm not worried about year to year. I don't worry about my taxes or what I'm paying year to year. I worry about what do I owe on the house and what is it worth now. That's the equity I have in that house.
Mark's not going paycheck to paycheck, you're saying?
Yeah, but Mark
– but he's kind of making it seem like
he's acting like that's how he wants to operate this team.
Right.
Is he better – he's got a monthly budget, and that better be in the black every single month, and ignoring the fact conveniently that on the other side of it, the equity in this team is – growing at an exponential rate.
For what it's worth, Attanasio bought the Brewers in 2005 for $223 million, and according to Forbes, as of April 2025, they're worth $1.2 billion.
Yeah, so yeah, a billion more.
It's insane.
And the Cubs, I don't give them a pass either. They talk about, well, we got operational costs. They don't own the team. Like, don't own a team if you are sweating the operational cost.
If you're going to cut corners.
Yeah, no team, no fan wants to root for a team where their owner's talking about the budget.
That's true.
And that will frustrate it. I'll call my own teams out for it. I hate when the Cubs talk about it. Thankfully, I don't hear the Bears talk about it. I would hate any team talking about it.
I want to talk to Mark and tell him, you know how much operational costs you will, like, make in money if you get to a World Series?
Right.
You know how great that would be for your bottom line this month?
The other, because I mean, look, we all saw The Last Dance. Yeah. With Jordan, like that was a lot about money.
Yeah.
We could pay these guys all this money. We could pay other people less and maybe win close enough. It didn't work out, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So Bulls are another, and the White Sox the same owner, but like. There's plenty of teams to do this. This isn't just the Brewers. There's teams in just down in Chicago. It's disgusting no matter any team is doing it. I do not ever want to hear a team I root for talk to me at all about turning a profit. Don't own a team then because you are making money every damn year with the valuation of that team.
Yeah.
And if you can't do it, sell it like the Lakers did. Sell it like Mark Cuban did.
Yeah.
And take your cash and go – steal some more sand. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by
allegedly.
Coors Light.
Allegedly.
This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wilde and Tausch.
You can take the boy out of North Carolina, but you can't take the North Carolina out of the boy. I like me some Bulldogs up here on the Packers.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Molly continues live from Camp Randall. It's a takeover of Wilde and Tausch. Jim Rutledge, Molly Brown, Matt Hamilton with you. Primetime Warshine behind the glass. Michael in Oregon chimes in. He's got a question for Wilde. Obviously, Wilde's not on right now, but he joins us next segment, Michael. So I will ask him on the air your question about where he would recommend for a family-friendly restaurant in Green Bay. I guarantee there's a million chain restaurants to pick from.
Chili's. Does Chili's still exist?
The chain restaurant capital of the world, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That was a nice question. Now you're just throwing shots.
At Green Bay.
Yeah, not at Michael.
Just catching strays.
There's better places to eat in Oregon, Wisconsin than there is at Green Bay. All right.
Time now for Molly's game.
Hi. I am looking for Molly. I've been searching everywhere and I can't seem to find Molly.
This is Molly's Game, hosted by America's favorite bookie, Molly Brown.
All right, so basically how this segment goes, we do this each week on a Friday, heading into the weekend. We look at some of the games around the area. Well, not in our area, but, you know, within the sports landscape. So right now, we're only going to be doing the Brewers-Nationals game. So I'm going to give you guys some props from that one, and then basically we, Jim, Matt, and Ryan all pick, have their own picks for it, and then we determine the winner based on how they did, and then we keep a score throughout the season. And I think we're coming close to like the end of our summer season, and then pretty soon here it'll be football season.
Yeah, without last week, it's
what Ryan?
But where we're doing seasons, like we're just doing like baseball season, football season.
Well, no, we're gonna do like chapters.
Yeah,
right.
Chapters.
Like this is
eras.
Yeah.
Right now it's Jim 5,
eras.
Matt.
Yeah,
3.
We're gonna do eras. Yeah, let's bring in T Swizzle in here.
There
we're gonna
go.
Do this is our summer era, or post Molly's maternity leave era, because that's what we're in, kind of, even though that was like forever ago. So
that's a bit
warm
of a mouthful.
Football season.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, so first up, you guys, the Brewers take on the Nationals. Over under 8.5 total runs in tonight's game. By the way, these are all for tonight's game, just so you're all aware.
Okay.
Matt, since you think that you won last week, and I don't have my sheet. Usually we recap last week, but I don't have it with me. So Matt, you believe that you won last week. I don't know if that's true. You go first.
Over.
Tonight, one game tonight, under.
Yeah.
8.5,
under.
Ryan?
Brewers are going to score 8 tonight.
I agree, Matt. I'm going over. Nationals are hot trash. They were one of the big sellers at the deadline yesterday. And I think, I mean, they have some hitters, though, at the same time, too. So if Jose Quintana gives up a couple runs, I wouldn't mind it tonight.
All right, so let's actually move on to Jose Quintana. Over, under 4.5 strikeouts for him. Ryan?
That's low, man. I don't know how many strikeouts he gave. I mean, he's obviously their fourth starter. Maybe fifth now with how good Priester's been. I will say under, especially if I'm going for the over with the runs.
Jim.
I'm going to go under. I feel like he'll pitch like 6 innings, so maybe he gets 5 strikeouts, but I think 4 is probably a good number, so I'll go 4. I'm going under.
God, Matt, as Matt scrolls the box score, right?
Yeah, he averages 6 strikeouts per 9 innings, so I'll take the under.
Alrighty. And last one here, guys, total runs, will it be odd or even? Why are you laughing?
Oh, I
think these are fun because there's no science behind it. There's
hold
nothing.
On, I gotta do some research.
Okay, Matt's gonna look up the science behind
I'm just kidding, even, because I don't like odd numbers.
J
Jim?
I'll go odd, because Matt's odd.
Is it because, like, the Olympic years are all even years?
Yeah, sure. That's fun.
Okay.
Perfect.
Like, put you on the couch and a little psychology into what your thought is on numbers.
I just am so averse to being called odd that I'd rather just pick even numbers.
Take that.
You,
that.
You are odd.
I thought you were like,
you embrace the oddness.
I thought you were proudly odd.
Me too. Odd yeah. Parents fail the odd.
We're going evens for me.
All Ryan? Right. Ryan, what say you?
Matt's even, Steven. I'll go with odd as well. Just because I want to have all the same exact picks as Jim.
Well, now we got to think of a tiebreaker. How
Jim,
about this?
No, Jim,
you
took the under. It's fine. I took the over on
oh,
the
Oh, yeah,
run.
Yeah. You got so the over. You went homer on that one. Yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah.
True. All right. Hey, all you sports bettors, if you aren't making your wagers at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel in Milwaukee, you're missing out on an elite experience. Honestly, it's a complete sports betting paradise. Their state-of-the-art venue has dozens of self-serving betting kiosks, seating for over 200 people, a first-class bar and restaurant, and a VIP deck. And if that's not enough for you, there's a giant video wall that's over 2,000 square feet. In a major move for all sports bettors out there, you can now use your Pottawatomie rewards card at most self-service kiosks and the betting counter. Bet on your favorite sports and earn rewards points along the way. Now that's a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook. This is Jim, Matt, Molly, presented by Coors Light.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
I say that so helplessly, but like, I feel like.
Such a self-desperate sound in your voice.
Yeah. I am.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly's takeover of Wilde and Tausch. What's up with that? What's up with that?
What's up with that? What's up with that? The takeover of Wilde and Tausch by Jim, Matt, and Molly continues, but we are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde, Jim Rutledge, Matt Hamilton, Molly Brown with you, primetime Lorsheim in the Everlight Solar Studio. Jason Wilde at Packers practice. And Jason, I guess the first question I had here, because it seems like a lot of names, maybe new names, are not at Packers practice today. So anything from Coach LaFleur about why people are missing before practice or anything fans should be worried about?
Well, I don't know if anyone needs to be worried about it. But, yeah, they've got a pretty good list of guys that are hobbled, and that's why they're not in pads. They're in shells, and we're going to be done in about 14 minutes. They hour and 20-minute practice today, and Matt LaFleur said he did curtail it for that reason. Interestingly, among the guys that are not practicing are, I think, two that are significant, although I don't think their injuries are significant. It's just that, you know, they're starters. So Rashid Walker has a groin injury. So yesterday we saw Jordan Morgan get a bunch of reps at left tackle. So that may have been a factor in it. So if we thought we were able to kind of handicap the race for the left tackle job and said, oh, well, wait a minute now, look at all these snaps that Jordan Morgan's getting. Maybe Jordan Morgan is moving into position. I mean, it depends what you do with the snaps, but he was getting the snaps because I don't know if this happened during his lap or when he hurt his groin, but Rashid Walker was not out there for a lot of yesterday, and now he's out completely today, so more reps for him. And then the other one of note is Nate Hobbs. So everyone's a lot safer at practice today, but he's got a knee that is keeping him out. There was some concern a little bit yesterday because Jaden Reed dropped out of practice. Not only is it a toe injury, but apparently it's not a serious one because he's been out here. He ran with both the number one offense, and then he ran with the number three offense. So if you have a toe injury, taking snaps with the number three offense probably wouldn't happen if it was a real concern. So clearly it's not, and he had a really nice juggling catch that was tipped by a defender that he came down with. So it looks like Jaden Reed is fine.
Jason, is there anything new with Elton Jenkins that I haven't heard?
Hey, he playing center.
How does he know what you know?
Well, no, like exactly. The contract things. Like, I was gone for 4 days. Like, I might have missed it. Believe it or not, I am not the most dialed in person on the show.
Color me surprised. He doesn't know what you know.
Yeah, he doesn't know what you knew or didn't know.
He can make a pretty safe assumption.
So, Jason, he knows nothing. He didn't even know that he was playing center this year.
Yeah, so I would say this. Channel3000.com. It's free. They don't have, my old gig at the State Journal, there was a paywall, and I would get these people who I would tweet out the link to a story, and then all they'd write was paywall. Yeah, well, some people are trying to, pay me. And so that's part of it. But now the great team at WISC TV3 does such a great job with their advertising work and everything else that we're able to have our Packers coverage be 100% free of charge. So, Matt, you can you can download the app and read it, but you can get caught up fairly easily. But to answer your question,
if you know how
I don't
to
think
read.
There's much new. No, I know
to
you.
Your
come
bedtime
on.
Story.
Yeah, bedtime.
That would be something. So I would say this to answer your question. I think he's really getting – he looks more and more comfortable every day. So that's part of it. This, again, is something that he wanted to do later in his career, and they brought it up to him right away in his exit interview after the season because it was pretty clear they were not going to keep Josh Myers as their starting center. So this is all kind of going according to plan, except for his plan to get himself some guaranteed money. That part obviously did not go according to plan as he had been hoping. So unfortunately... and we have, it would appear to be, this can't be good because there's a lot of guys kneeling and, it's Emmanuel Wilson, who went out on a ball down the field and Jordan Love overthrew him and he was kind of twisting and turning trying to make the catch. It fell incomplete, and then he hit the ground, and he did not get back up. So he's got the training staff over there with him at the moment. Jordan Love's over there checking him out, too. So the guys look concerned. I don't know what he did. It's hard to see from the side of the field, but it is clearly something that's got the guys concerned. So I'll update you on that as we get hopefully some more info, but guys do look concerned at the moment. As far as Elgton Jenkins, he's still playing center, and the fact that Matt doesn't know what's going on is not especially surprising. And Emmanuel Wilson is up now, and the crowd is cheering. It looks like maybe it's a I don't want to guess, but he's being helped off the field.
All right. Well, let's hope that he's all good. Another injury, Marshawn Lloyd. Do we know anything with him? Obviously, we heard that it was the groin the other day, but is there any update there?
Yeah, he's not practicing. He won't take part tomorrow night on family night. I think that the good news is that it's not a colossal long-term injury. Obviously, he's had incredibly bad luck throughout his first year and change in the NFL. Like I was saying earlier, I don't necessarily buy the it happened right before the groin injury happened right before Nate Hobbs hit him. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not, but I'm guessing getting hit while the groin injury was occurring probably was not exactly helpful either. So that's a concern just because I think they're really excited, Molly, about what he could do for them, but now he's out and now obviously Emmanuel Wilson has left practice, so they're getting a little light at running back at the moment. And this is what Ted Thompson always used to say: you can think you got all kinds of good depth, and then you're one or two twisted ankles away from being in a little bit of trouble. So they definitely want Marshawn Lloyd back sooner rather than later, because he's not only do they like what he is potentially capable of, but he didn't get nearly enough work last year as a rookie. Basically, took a medical redshirt, so. They need him to be getting these reps.
Yeah, and where he was picked, I think they were counting on him to being almost like a compliment to Jacobs. I want to switch here. ESPN put out a story about like the top coaching staffs. Packers fell in at 10 right in front of the Lions. Vikings at 1. I think the Packers at 10 seems pretty fair. Chris Canty on Unsportsmanlike, which you can hear here on ESPN Madison with Evan Cohen and Michelle Smallman weekday mornings. He had this to say, and I wanted to kind of hear what your thoughts were about Coach Floor. It seemed complimentary.
This is somebody that the organization was on the fence on before last season on whether or not they were going to fire his ass. So I'm not going to sit here and crown Nick Sirianni because they went on a magic carpet ride run. I'm not going to do it. Listen, everybody wanted to line up and crown Doug Peterson. They ran his ass out of town a few years after he won the chip. And that was the Eagles' first Super Bowl title. So I'm not going to crown him. Conversely, what Matt LaFleur has done, what I've seen in Green Bay, transitioning from a legendary quarterback in Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love and keeping that succession of 30-plus years of outstanding quarterback play going in Green Bay is impressive. He would have been in the playoffs every single year had Aaron Rodgers not lost a Week 18 winning in game against the Detroit Lions, who had nothing to play for that season. So, yeah, I got a bank full of respect for Matt LaFleur in terms of his program building. A ton of it.
Jason, I'll let you react to what Candy said. Pretty complimentary.
Yeah, and well, not so complimentary of Nick Sirianni, of the way the Eagles.
The Eagles were eighth on the
list.
Or
of the way the Eagles operate.
Yes.
Yeah, look. I think, and one of the reasons why I was interested in what you said there was that the Lions are 11th, right? Because the jury is so much out. They were talking about it last night on the broadcast when Musburger wasn't telling stories about gambling. With two new coordinators, and Sirianni's a perfect example, right? They go to a Super Bowl with two coordinators who then get head coaching jobs. They still made the playoffs the following year, but there were people that were really down on Sirianni, and he changes out coordinators again after 1 year. And then he's got two guys that one's been a head coach and then one ends up getting a head coaching job in Kellen Moore. So now we'll see again what he's like offensively with his new offensive coordinator yet again. Look, I would say this about Matt LaFleur. I think he's a very good coach. I think he's smart. You know, we spent some time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning talking about this. And I know, Molly, you and I talked about this earlier today. Like, I understand that there's some questions about the physicality at camp and whatever else. But, you know, I think Matt LaFleur in year 7 has really hit his stride in terms of, you know, kind of understanding, you know, how to be an effective head coach. He's hired a good staff. He brings guys back that become available and puts them in positions where they can augment his staff without undercutting the guys who actually have the jobs, like bringing back Hackett, bringing back Getsy, having Robert Saleh here last year. So I think 10 is probably a good spot. You know, obviously Halfley, if his defense has another year like this year, like he did last year, I think they're going to be looking for a defensive coordinator. Because I think he's going to get a head coaching job in the next cycle. So, Steno, the challenge for any offensive coordinator whose head coach is the play caller offensively is to carve out his own niche. But he got two head coaching interviews, right? He got one with the Jets and one with the Bears, I think. I mean, he's a pretty well-respected guy. So they've got a good staff. But, that's obviously part of the equation. And I'm finishing up my story about the ball king today. And the question I had for LaFleur this morning was, you know, everybody has things they emphasize and everybody wants to get more turnovers. But when it comes to this ball king thing, how important is it that there's like an excitement about it? And I think that's what good coaches do. He said, you know, if you're entertaining in how you present stuff in meetings, you're going to get guys more engaged. And I think that is probably one of the areas where he's grown the most as a coach. Like his speeches to the team, you know, I think he was always uncomfortable with that early on. I think he's found his rhythm there. To me, the biggest challenge for him and his staff is to reinvent the wheel of their offense to make sure that they're not predictable. And last year, there were too many times where they were relying on guys to get open on their own and win their one-on-ones. And that is not the way this offense is supposed to run. This offense is supposed to scheme guys open. They get the ball, and then they make things happen with the ball in their hand.
Yeah, absolutely, Jason. That is what seemed to work in 2023. We've got a texter, Michael in Oregon, wanting to know.
Oregon.
Well, it could be Oregon or Oregon.
It's a 608 number.
Oh, that's fair.
He's on his way to Green Bay, taking his girls to their first Lambeau experience, and they're spending two nights at the Tundra Lodge. Do you have any family-friendly recommendations for restaurants?
Well, you gotta if you want good food, And they do have ice cream, according to the Wildenstein rule of whether or not we can mention things. They have to have ice cream to get free advertising. My favorite pizza restaurant is Rustique Pizzeria in Suamico. My buddy Joe owns it, and it's even if he wasn't my friend, I would love it there. So if you like pizza, that is the must go to. We got a lot of fun things for kids to do in Green Bay. I don't know if they find the tour of the stadium and the Hall of Fame, depending on how old the kids are. Like, our girls are now 15 and 14, but when they were like 7 and 8, they had very I mean, they didn't even want to go on the tour, and my office is on the tour route. So if you think your kids might be interested, I do think the tour is interesting, and I do think the Hall of Fame with all the history is interesting. But, you know, I would try and make it I assume they're going to family night if they're going to be here for two nights. I'm not the perfect parent by any stretch. Just ask Paula and the girls. But I would say spend more time at the Tundra Lodge and less time at Lambeau Field if you want to make sure that they're happy.
I think that's a good piece of advice there. Jason, we got to let you get going. Thanks for hopping on and joining your own show twice in one day. Matt Hamilton doesn't show once curling season starts, he won't be on the show twice in a month. So we appreciate it.
With comments like that.
In all seriousness, you know, it was, and I love it when I get to go to the first press conference, because he's always confused when I'm there, because obviously I mean I have to assume he scheduled it for 9:50 every day, knowing that's in the Wildy and Tausch window. So
it's like
he got a couple of long-winded. Newman.
Yeah.
But he got two long-winded questions today, and now he'll be off again, because I'll be back on the air full-time on the show. But thanks for doing this today. I know you got the big event at Camp Randall and everything else you got going on, but it was nice to be able to be here even for a light practice from start to finish. So I appreciate you guys a lot.
Well, thank you, Jason. We appreciate you. You kind of helped carry this show with all the information you gave us. So thank you very much.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Thank you.
That's just all good gratitude from all. Ted Lasso will be proud of all of us with the gratitude that we are showing there.
Except for when you dunked on me for not showing up to our show.
He has to get some comments in, Matt.
Yeah.
Savage. He's been too nice today.
But I dunked on you in a very over-the-top way.
Yeah.
I said two times in a month.
Which is way too much.
If I said two times in a week, it's very real. Like, that's too real. I have to be over the top.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see what you did there.
It's only because Molly informed me yesterday that, like, we have two shows left and then we're not hosting a show together as a group till, like October. He said it by Coors Light.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Hey, feeling good, like I should. When in dark, a walk around the neighborhood. Feeling blessed, never stressed. Got that sunshine on my Sunday best. Every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is...
Jim, Matt, Molly, the takeover. Wildy and Tausch continues live from Camp Randall. Primetime Wallerstein back at the Everlight Solar Studio. Jim Rutledge, Matt Hamilton, Molly Brown with you. And it is a Friday. It means it's a feel-good Friday, brought to you by our good friends at Holman Lindsay. And I'll share one story. Hopefully you guys will have time as well. I'll keep it tight. Danny Parkins, who's a national radio host, still goes back to Chicago once a year to do a fundraiser. He started when he was down there. This year, long story short, they raised $750,000. All the money goes to cancer research. I believe his father and maybe another his brother and maybe another family member passed away with cancer, and he took his platform and has maximized it and raised $750,000. That's impressive for someone who's in radio to be able to pull that kind of dollars in. I wish I had that kind of pull. Matt, you doing something good?
Yeah, I'm doing a golf outing. McFarland based my old band teacher and classmate's father passed away a while back, and they're doing golf outing for scholarships for McFarland students, so pretty cool.
And Molly, we have one on Monday.
Yes, our ESPN Madison Open, our third annual one at TPC Wisconsin, is on Monday, August 4th. We're benefiting Mentoring Positives this year, which is a nonprofit based right here in Madison. And you can donate if you text GOLF to 844-770-3776. All of the money that we raise goes to Mentoring Positives. So that's super exciting.
All right, thanks for listening. This has been Jim, Matt, and Molly. You can stream it back on ESPN Wisconsin app.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.